Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this morning to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 119, reading verses 129 and 130. The book of the Psalms, Psalm 119, reading verses 129 and 130. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. The psalmist in this long psalm opens up his heart that we may see what the Lord has taught him. And he speaks of things which he understands and knows. They are things which God himself has shown him, and he can speak of them. He has heard the voice of his God. He knows in his heart what it is to commune with his God, to speak to him, to listen to him, to hear his voice. And the big question with us is this: do we know the same? It is one thing to hear about God. It is one thing to know about his name. It is an entirely different matter to know him. When the Apostle Paul was writing his letter to the church at Philippi, he opened up his heart to us and showed us his prayer. And his prayer was this: that I might know him. And we know that the apostle did know him. He had heard his voice on the road to Damascus. He knew the testimonies of his God. And he could, in the opening words of our text here this morning, say that that was wonderful, remarkable, incredible. Something that in life's pathway he would never, ever forget. The testimony, the witness in his soul of Christ, speaking to him with almighty power, commanding him, his ears open to hear the voice of his God. I read the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John this morning. There the Lord Jesus spoke of his divine testimony as he came into this world, the witness of himself, the mighty power of his works, the revelation of his power as the eternal Son of God, the Son of his Father. And he bore witness in the heart of the man who had laid at Bethesda Pool, by the mighty act of healing, that he was the Son of God. It was wonderful to that dear man who had laid 38 years, that here was one who could speak with the divine testimony in his soul and say to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. There was something which was never to be forgotten, that as the Lord gave him that testimony, that witness of his spirit in his soul, he received at the same time the divine grace and strength to do what his God commanded him. And there are those in his word, when we look at his dear apostles, they had a divine testimony, and it was this: follow thou me. Their ears were opened, they were quickened by the Spirit of God and brought to obey the Lord Jesus' commandments. But we ask ourselves, and would search our hearts, what have we got that the Lord has given to us? What has he spoken to us? How has he dealt with us? What testimony have we received of him in our hearts? The means that the Lord has ordained in his holy word for giving divine testimonies are very clear. One of them is the foolishness of preaching. The other is his holy word of truth. They are the two means which he has ordained to give in the hearts of his dear church divine testimony. And our mind goes at this moment to the road to Emmaus and those men who travelled that day in sadness when Jesus drew near and went with them. And he used this word of truth. Moses, who testified of him, he used that word in his sermon that day as he travelled with them to Emmaus. He spoke to them of himself, recorded in this word of truth. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And you know, they could truly say that his testimony was wonderful. When he was vanishing out of their sight and was gone, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And you know, that tells us something about the blessed work of God's Spirit and the work of Christ in his own day in these divine testimonies. The truth of what the Lord said was witnessed in their heart as they received it in the love of it, and their heart burnt in them with joy and peace and faith and hope as the Lord spoke of himself and all the scriptures that referred to him. And they saw it. They understood it. They believed it. It entered their heart. And when he broke bread in that house at Emmaus, they saw the Last Supper. They had such a sight of that ordinance which they'd attended originally, and they could see the glory of it and how it pointed to Christ. And we read of the wonderful nature of the testimony of God in their souls, that they went on their way rejoicing. The Lord had used the preaching of his holy word by his own lips. He had used the scripture of truth, and as power of the Holy Spirit had come and attended that truth, and they could truly say in the experience of it that this testimony was wonderful. But when we come to look at the nature of these testimonies of God in the soul that are wonderful, our mind goes to God's holy law and his presence. When the Lord would teach in the way everlasting, he brings the sinner to his holy law and establishes it in his heart and shows him that he has broken it in every particle. He uses his holy law as his schoolmaster to bring the sinner to Christ, to give him a blessed testimony of Christ. He prepares the ground to receive the testimony. He shows by his law sin in our hearts, and he brings condemnation into our soul. It is his work to show us himself and to show us ourselves, and to bring us down at his mercy seat to ask for testimonies. When the psalmist David in the 51st Psalm prayed that prayer after his great sin of adultery and murder, he prayed, "Wash me." He was asking for a divine testimony. When he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean," he was asking for a divine testimony. He was asking for the testimony of the blood of Jesus Christ in his own heart and in his own conscience. We read of the Apostle Peter speaking in this way of Christ, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He had received a divine testimony in his soul that the blood of Christ had cleansed him from all sin. We read of this again and again in Scripture. John the Divine speaks of that precious blood of Christ. And the Apostle Peter speaks of it. "As much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." All the testimonies of God are precious. Peter knew it. He knew the blasphemy and the unbelief and the fear and the solemn cursing that he had entered into in the judgment hall when he denied his Saviour. And he knew what it was to go out and weep bitterly and receive a divine testimony that that precious blood of Christ had touched his heart. And he could truly speak of the nature of that pardon, and he could say it was precious. Here the psalmist had received testimonies. Thy testimonies, he says, are wonderful. He knew them in his own soul. He could measure them and value them. When we think of the Lord's servant Hezekiah, as he walked in that solemn path of death, with eternity before him, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live, he came to cry out before God under his burden, and to seek the pardoning blood of Christ. And he came to the Lord in prayer, in the feebleness of it, as a crane or a swallow, he says, "So did I chatter." And in that remarkable way, the Lord brought him to his knees, and he cried out, "O Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me." And the Lord answered. He says, "In love to my soul, thou hast delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And he received a testimony from his God. And he could describe that testimony as wonderful. I come back to the question again this morning. What have we received? What testimonies have we got from this same Jesus? What has he spoken to us? Has he said anything to us? Do we know his voice? Have we heard his voice? Can we speak of the nature of these testimonies? Are they wonderful? Have we understood the value of them? What has the Lord spoken to us in our souls? What precious promises has he given to us? Have we wrestled with him? Have we cried to him? Have we come to him under the burden of sin and in the pathway? Have we sought his face? And has he answered us? And can we then speak in the way that the psalmist speaks? The whole of this 119th psalm, if you read it, is again and again a very sweet, blessed opening of the psalmist's heart as he speaks of the way the Lord has dealt with him and what he has done for him, what he has been to him, what he has revealed of himself in his heart. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. You know, it is very simple, really. We cannot keep what we've not been given. The psalmist kept in his heart the precious nature of what he received. He kept them in his soul. I think of Jacob. What testimony did Jacob receive at Bethel? The testimony he received from God was this: sinner that he was, having just deceived his aged father and stolen his brother's birthright, known in Scripture as the supplanter, the deceiver, he went out from his home with all the sorrow and hatred that followed him, and as he came to Bethel and laid his head on that pillar of stone that night, the remarkable nature of the work of God, that he should move at such a moment in such a sinner's life, so undeserving of the Lord's mercy, he came to him and gave him a testimony. The testimony was this: I'll be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest. I'll not leave thee. But I brought thee again to this place. And the Lord did bring him to Bethel again. He called it El Bethel, the God of the house of God. But he received a divine testimony. And you know, he kept that all the days of his life. It was precious to him. I believe when he came to Peniel and his brother was coming to meet him, when he came with armed men and he feared the wiping out of his whole family and death, then he went to his knees at Peniel and wrestled with his God, and he said, I'll not leave thee, I'll not give thee any rest till thou bless me. And the Lord blessed him there. And what did he plead at Bethel? I believe the testimony he pleaded at Peniel was the blessing of Bethel, the blessing that his God had given to him. The Lord helped him there to plead with him. And when he came to the end of the journey and was blessing Ephraim and Manasseh, there he could speak of the testimony which he kept all the days of his life. And he could say, the Lord that redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad. He knew the redeeming love and blood of Christ. And the big question here this morning is this: have I, in my heart, in my soul, any testimony of God which I have kept, which I am keeping, which God has given to me, which is mine, which I can plead again and again, which I can bring to his mercy seat and say to my God, Lord, thou sayest? Jacob could go to his God and quote from the days of his youth at Bethel the promise that his God had given him. He had a blessed promise, and he knew the testimony that his God had given him. And we see this in the case of so many. The Lord gave to his dear servants again and again blessed promises, divine testimonies, which they kept and which they used in which they pleaded. I think of Joshua, when Moses died, and the office fell upon Joshua. The Lord gave him a sacred word, and it was this: as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. He had a promise. He had a testimony. He had a word of his God. And truly, he could say of that word, therefore doth my soul keep it. He had something upon which he could come to his God. Something he could say to his God, Lord, thou saidst. We keep many things in life which we have valued, but often as we grow older, we value them less. In my youth, when I was building up my library and collecting my books in my library, my spiritual books, I valued them greatly. As life has gone on, I have come to value them less and to value God's holy word more. There is one word, the testimony of God, which we do not value less. And so it is with God's word in our hearts. When he speaks to us, the older we grow, the nearer we approach to eternity, the more searching the light of God's truth is in our soul, and the more we long for the blessed testimonies of God in our heart, and there is a burning up of the wood, hay and stubble of that which is not spiritual, and there is a valuing of what the apostle speaks of as the gold, silver and precious stones spiritually, and there is a coming to rest upon that rock, Christ Jesus, and we are searched and searched in our hearts, and what do we keep? That which will never be taken from us, those things which can never be shaken, those things which will abide, and they are the word of God to us in our hearts, the blessed word of his Spirit. You see, solemnly we read in the scriptures, in the parable of the sower, of the seed, and we read of its scattering, and we read of its fruit. And there is a solemn difference. Some of the seed of God's word falls to the ground, to the wayside. Some falls into stony ground. Some is choked with the thorns and cares of this world. And some bears fruit. And the scriptures are very clear. He that endureth unto the end, says the scripture, shall be saved. And it is that the work of God will be manifest in the trials, temptations, tribulations, and pathway of life that it endures to the end. Some fall away. Solemnly depart from the truth. Go back. They did in Jesus' day. There were the disciples who went away and departed from the truth. And the Lord said of them, to his disciples, will ye also go away? And they responded, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, to be given grace. We know that only those who are kept by the power of God, by his Spirit, are kept from falling away. But we read in the 5th of John this morning, solemnly of those, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They were with him, they were listening to him, and yet they would not receive him. They couldn't say like the man at Bethesda, Paul, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. They hated him without a cause. They hated him because he said he was the Son of God. They did not believe it. They denied it. But we see here there were those who received his testimonies and they kept them. They valued them. They loved them. They were precious to them. They were something that didn't grow old. They ever were fresh. They were something they could plead before their God. They were their lifeline, their communication with heaven. And they were treasures which they took with them to glory. Precious words which the Lord had spoken to them. Sacred communications of God to their soul. And you see, the Lord is no respecter of age or person. My mind has gone this morning to the dying thief, called by God in his dying hour. My mind goes to Samuel, called by the Lord in his youth, as a child. To Moses in the cradle, called in his adolescence in the court of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. The Lord begins. Samson was called in his dying hour. Oh, how solemnly we see it. David in his youth on the hills of Judah, as he fought the lion and the bear, turned to heaven and sought his God and received a divine testimony in his deliverance. And when he came to fight Goliath, he could truly say, the Lord that delivered me from the lion and the bear. The testimony that David had was his prayer was answered. Have you got an answered prayer? A blessed testimony from God that he has heard your voice. Here the psalmist could speak of it. Thy testimonies are wonderful, and therefore doth my soul keep them. And you know, it is very simple here. The soul keeps them, locked in their heart as their own possession, because they are so wonderful, so blessed, so valuable, so great. They are God's word to them, that one day he will take them to be with himself where he is. And that it is established in their hearts that he has loved them with an everlasting love. But we go on to the second verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light. What is this? I believe very simply it's this. God speaks in the souls of his dear children, every one of them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It is so simple. The entrance of thy words. Oh, has the word of Christ entered your heart? Have you heard his voice? The apostle did. There was a light that shone for the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and the words of Christ entered his heart, and whilst his sight, natural sight, was taken from him, he was given in that moment a spiritual light, and the words of Christ entered his soul with almighty power, and his response was, Lord. Beautiful word, Lord. The Jesus whom he had denied, whose name he had blasphemed, whose followers he had stood by and watched them die as he did Stephen, now in sovereign grace spoke in his soul with almighty power, and it entered his heart. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And what light? The light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ entered his heart, and he knew at once that the Jesus whom he denied was speaking to him. What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord brought him to his knees. And you know, when the Lord spoke to Ananias to send him to Paul, the Lord said to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. The Apostle Paul had prayed many times as a Pharisee. He was full of religion. But now, the Lord himself said, behold, he prayeth. What prayer that was. It was real. It was genuine. It was the substance of the man who went up into the temple to pray and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here was the truth. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It is the light to be brought face to face with the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to bow before him, not now in blindness and darkness and death, as those men that turned away from Jesus. She would not come, will not come to me that you might have life. There was a willingness. Beautifully described in the scriptures, they shall be willing in the day of my power. And the Lord brings his dear children to his mercy seat. His word enters their heart with almighty power. Ask yourself this question this morning. Has the word of God, through the foolishness of preaching, through his holy word, entered your heart with divine power? Oh, it does. I have known in my own heart in Holland, in listening to some of the Dutch ministers, the sweet power of the Spirit. Some Sundays in my journeys in Holland I shall never forget, and the godly men I've heard, the power that has entered my soul. And I've known it in my own churches here, the power of God's holy word to enter. The beautiful expression, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And it goes on, this text does, it giveth understanding to the simple. Oh, the entrance of his word. What light, what understanding. That's a beautiful expression. The people of God brought to be simple. Like the Apostle Paul, how simple. When the Lord's word entered his heart, Lord, what would thou have me to do? What a simple answer it was. Give his understanding to the simple. The Lord said in his own lifetime, except ye become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Oh, to have given us the entrance of his word into our hearts, and to be brought into the simple receiving of that truth in our souls, and to be given grace to follow him, to be given divine understanding, and to know the eternal God is our refuge, and that underneath are his everlasting arms. We leave the subject there this morning. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Amen.